Well, cool. You may or may not have noticed our pastor is out of town, because that ain't me. And we definitely want to pray that they're having a good time, taking some personal time, and enjoying some time with one another. So let's make sure that we do that. You should be doing that anyway. It's kind of like I got a little animated this week at school because, you know, at our Veterans Day ceremony, and I'm not a veteran, but I think it's not a day. Like, Veterans Day is not a day that you celebrate. That should be an everyday thing, you know. Like, it's not one day that I'm thankful for those guys and what they've done. It's an everyday thing. So make sure you're praying for your pastor every day. It's not Pastor Appreciation Week. It's the only time we should appreciate the pastor. It should be all the doggone time. Y'all give me a quick second right here so I can open this Bible. And I don't have a lapel mic, so I'm going to have to put it down. Anyway, I do got some things marked up. All right. It has been a week this week. I'm going to give you, I don't know why, but I'm going to give you a quick rundown of my week. First of all, okay, you're here, and wasn't long ago when I was up here, I talked about a young lady, needed to have her hair taken care of, and I just kind of want to give you a quick update. Things are going pretty doggone well right there. We got some folks, working with that young lady who was always late to school because she just didn't like being there, didn't want to ride the bus. She chose to walk as opposed to ride the bus. But, you know, we've had some conversations. Showing up early every day, actually. Not, like, late and, like, 2 minutes late. Like, come on, man. But, like, actually showing up on time, getting involved and doing some stuff. So, for anybody wondering how that's going, it's going pretty well. Grades are well. I think I made, an 87 on a test on Friday, which is not par for the course. Like, the class average was an 80. So, I don't know how much – I'm not sharing, like, specific people's names, so I can't get in trouble for that. So, like, we're good there. So, let's see. It's been a busy week. Wrestling's gotten started, and I'm telling you this for a reason. That's kind of how it showed up this morning. Wrestling got started. I'm out until 8, 9, 10 o'clock every night, whether it's, different things going on. That's just the life of it. And then I'm fortunate enough to do this this radio show on Friday night, and I love it, and it's fun. But this Friday it was super fun. But I don't get done until about 12, and I don't live in Carrollton, so I have to drive home to Buchanan, which is the church way of saying Buchanan. It's an elegant place. And anyways, we like it there. But got home late. My middle school wrestling coach, his wife's in the hospital, so I need you guys praying for her, please. And there's nothing funny about that. So we kind of had to pick up the slack yesterday. We had a bus leaving for Cass super early, so I got a sweet two and a half, three hours of sleep on Friday night and got up and did wrestling all day yesterday, and then came back to do the radio show for Carrollton last night. Got home late, so I feel like Buddy the Elf with, did you sleep well last night? Yes, I got a full 45 minutes, so I'm super amped up and excited to be here. But, throughout the week, I'd been trying to, put some time to study more than my daily stuff, because I knew I was supposed to be bringing the word this morning, and I just finally got to a place of peace. Like, God, you knew like what this weekend and week entailed before all this stuff, so either you've got something for me to share in the morning, or we're just going to show up this morning, and I was just going to straight up be like, I just feel like the Lord wants everybody to pray this morning, and we're going to play music, and, because I don't have anything, but everybody is. But I woke up this morning, and as I woke up, he was just kind of flooding me with some of these things, so, and I'm very thankful for that. But that's literally how it worked out this morning. I hadn't had any notes until I woke up this morning. I woke up, told Jamie, don't talk to me. I need to go write stuff down before we start talking, and I ruin everything, so. Got out and got some notes taken this morning. So I'm excited to share a couple of things with you. So the last time I was up here, we talked about, one of the last times I was up here, we talked about not punting. And God's kind of tied some stuff to that. It's a completely separate word that God gave me this morning. But, we talked about punting and how we should never do that and how that's not biblical to take your petitions to God at the end on fourth down, after we've exhausted all these resources. So God gave me some stuff to talk about with improper procedure. Okay. I feel like Nick White is guilty of a lot of improper procedure, and we could make the football analogy and talk about, there's penalties for a false start. It's called a procedure penalty because you're not following the procedure. You should start when the ball is snapped and not before so. So it's improper procedure. Last time we talked a lot about fourth down, but it's that first, second, and third down that now that I feel like God's kind of bringing to my attention this morning. So that's what we're going to talk about. I told you wrestling has started, and I love wrestling, Rhett, because it will weed you out more than any other sport on the planet. There's nowhere to hide. You know, a lot of these guys, and I love them to death, and I'm not talking about your little baby if you're listening, but there's a lot of Johnnies, man, they can hide on the football field. Okay, I'm real good at bringing the dummies out, and when scout team's up, I'm in the back, and I'm hiding, and I'm shorter than everybody else, and I ain't doing nothing. I can run at the end with everybody else, but I ain't getting in and all involved in all that contact and all that stuff. You can hide out there. There is no place to hide in the wrestling room. There's just not. I mean, there's just no place to hide. So you will be exposed at some point in time. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Travis. There's no – did y'all give bathroom breaks when you were catching up there? I don't do bathroom breaks. Yeah, that's right. No bathroom breaks. Catch, watch, wrestling practice. We won't talk about all the other crazy stuff because I want to keep my job. But I had a young man. He's a freshman. And typically I would say the growing up procedure in our sport is a little bit steeper, maybe so, than football, because if you're fast, you can be successful. If you're big, you can be successful. You got to have a mentality shift, I think, coming from 8th grade wrestling into 9th grade wrestling, right? There's a big mentality shift that takes place. I had a young man, got a little banged up, and he's banged up, like legitimately, you know, banged up. Not injured, but got a little hurt. And what he did is, you know, he strained his back. You know, he's going to be okay. He's going to survive. But what he did is he didn't tell me. He didn't tell any of the other coaches. You know what he did. Y'all know what he did. And this bothers me as a guy, but I can't say it. He went to the doctor, okay? My back's hurting. I'm going to go to the doctor. And I don't know where he went, but, like, typically these kids, these freshmen, they go to urgent care somewhere, and they're like, hey, man, my back's kind of hurting. And they go, yeah, that stinks. Take 18 weeks off and you'll feel better. And here's a note that says you don't need to do anything for 18 weeks and you'll be okay. And so he comes back and he's like, coach, my back's hurting. I got this doctor's note and, you know, I can't do anything for, you know, it's not 18 weeks. I'm slightly exaggerating. And so I very politely and calmly, without getting upset, instructed him about what the procedures are for when we get injured or hurt or banged up. And I was super nice and quiet. Freshmen are just weird. I spend like the whole year like telling them not to talk to me because they just bother me. I don't know if you're the same way, coach, but like they just go see an upperclassman, ask them your question, and if they deem it worthy, then you can come to me. But until you've graduated up to, you know, at least a sophomore, we don't need to converse because it will just be bad for you. And so give the young man credit. He had enough courage to hand me the note. And so we talked about the proper procedure. Now, here's the thing, guys, and if you guys are sitting at home like, oh, my gosh, he doesn't want him to go to the doctor? No, because we pay two trainers a whole lot of money to take care of our athletes, and we have them on campus. We are blessed beyond measure when it comes to that at Carrollton. Most people have to send them over to Southern Therapy. No. We got a whole great big room in the high school, and if you don't want to go there, if that's too far of a walk, we'd have another big room down by the field house. So we have your health care needs covered as an athlete. And so what we want you to do, the procedure, is to see us so that we can call a trainer and say, hey, when is a suitable time for this young person to come and see you to be diagnosed, to see if they do need an MRI or an X-ray, we can get them to the right people, the orthopedics, or if they're a little banged up and we can treat them in-house, we want to do that. That way we can come up with a treatment plan for you, right, so that you can be brought back up to speed and not do nothing for 18 weeks, right? And so, you know, I mean, seriously, I mean, that's it, guys. Doctors, they're not worried about your athletics career. They're just worried about them, okay? And they don't want to get in trouble or get sued if you went back too fast and you strained your back even more. Now it's their fault. So they're going to write a piece of paper that says don't do anything. So here's some things. Here's why it's a problem. Not every doctor is the right doctor that you need to see, okay? Here's our procedure. You know, this is why I gave you the procedure, and this is why it's the procedure. the urgent care doctor is not there to treat you and get you back on the right track athletically. That is not their purpose. That's not their function. It's not their fault that they wrote you a letter for an 18-week absence. That's not on them. That's on you for going to see the wrong doctor. Okay, you went to the wrong person, right? So just a doctor is not a doctor. We want someone that is specifically there for you. You don't get a treatment plan when you do that. There's no treatment. Just rest, take some Tylenol, you know, relax, ice that thing, right? There's no treatment plan. Jess, you know, like it, we got all kind of stuff. We got like, you know, what are those things that you heat them up, put them on your back? What do we call those? No. They sit in the boiling water. Like it's the high tech stuff. Anyways, we got all that stuff. We've got the cast that you fill with cold water and ice up ankles. We have plenty of things to treat you to get you back in the game, but that's not available when you head up over to urgent care. It also delays your time of return, okay? Because typically with a let's just say it's a strained back, you might need a day off, but you really probably need some treatment and you're going to be okay. But this note says don't do anything, so it delays your time of return. There are days missed, and when there are days missed, there are repetitions missed mentally. You miss reps at practice, and if you miss reps at practice, you're not getting prepared. And it's kind of like, you know, if you're swimming upstream in a river, if you stop swimming, you don't stay where you are. You get put back further, and so you're missing reps, and it's putting you behind the eight ball, and you're already a freshman, and you need to live life better anyway. Like, that's just the way it is. So you're moving further and further behind. You get missed reps, and it also requires paperwork, which is my least favorite thing. So, like, now I have to have another doctor's note from your doctor that's before you can do anything again, because I know I have this sheet of paper that says you can't do anything, but now I need one that says you can, and now you have to schedule an appointment with some other doctor who doesn't really function in our way of life, and now you got to go get another piece of paper that says you can. And doctors don't like to write those pieces of paper because what if something happens? So there's just a lot of things that become a problem, and all we had to do to avoid all of this was follow the procedure. Okay, follow the procedure. Okay, let's see. It's not this young man's job to create the procedure. It's not. He doesn't need to do that. He just needs to follow the procedure. That's all he has to do. It's not my job to create the procedure. It's my job to follow the procedure. That's all I have to do. You know, same thing with football. Like this, you know, you don't ever see if somebody gets hit with a false start, there's not a coach that ever argues, hey, wait a minute. No, I don't know that should be the rule. I think we should be able to move a little bit. They don't argue the rule. They argue whether or not it was enforced properly. They don't argue what the actual rule was. Why do we spend so much time trying to argue what the actual rules are when it comes to the word right here? I don't understand that. Like, it's pretty plainly written. We either believe that this is true or we don't. And you don't get to pick and choose your favorite pieces. You know, we don't get to interpret those. We don't get to stop the game and say, wait a minute, I don't know. I don't like that rule. Targeting's not fun today. It's the rule. Deal with it. You know, deal with it. Like, you can't use your, you know, pen knife and cut things out, so to speak. So why don't we follow procedures, okay? What's the problem there? Why didn't this young man follow? And I do have scripture, by the way. We're not going to leave here without using Bible verses. That's important. But why didn't this young man follow the procedure? Well, the first thing, he's a freshman, and I don't expect them to do anything right. So anytime they do, we high-five them, and we appreciate them. But why didn't he follow the procedure? There's several reasons that kids don't follow the procedure. The first one, and he's awesome, by the way. This kid's great. He's going to be wonderful. He's going to do a fine job. So anybody, you know, I'm not talking bad about it. He really is going to be awesome. But this was him. He didn't know it. He didn't know the procedure. You know, we didn't have a day, so this ultimately comes back on me. We didn't have a day where I stopped everybody and said, hey, by the way, if you get banged up, come see me and we'll get you hooked up with, you know, this one and this one, and we'll do this, that, and the other. So that's the first reason we don't follow procedure, is we just don't know what it is, okay? We got to get educated. Right. He got educated, okay? We need to get educated. There's a lot of things that we float around in life that we don't know what to do, and so we go ask a guru or a specialist or someone that's done something like that, and we consult everything else in the world before we check the book of procedure. because it was written for us, but we'd rather someone else tell us what their success stories were, or what they do, or see some specialist as opposed to seeing the specialist, right? And then I am guilty of that. I am guilty of that. I wait until fourth down, and then I'm like, all right, God, what you got for me right here? Because I've tried everything else, so, like, now can you come in and save me? I know it's fourth and 13, and, like, we need some help right here. I feel like things probably would have been better on first and 10. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. So that's one of the reasons we don't follow procedures. And then the other reason that we don't follow procedures is we think that we know better. We think that we know better. Mom, who babies these freshmen, my baby's hurt. I got to take him to the doctor. Listen, you love him. Let me fix him. That's my job. They paid me to do. I'm the specialist. But they paid me to take care of him. But a lot of times, moms, and I'm just using this analogy, so please, moms, don't get at me. You're doing your job, and I love you for it. You're a valuable resource, and we can't do what we do without you. But a lot of times, mama babies Johnny and Susie, or daddy will baby John. Daddies are worse than moms when it comes to some of this stuff, especially when it comes to playing time, and, oh, my son, I'll be playing. And y'all better check yourself. Stop living your life through your kids. I'm just saying, just because you didn't get to play, don't mean, I'm sorry. As the Lord, Anyway, a lot of times people think that they know better than what the actual procedures are. And you need to understand and trust that that lady's coached softball longer than you probably have known that it was a sport. No offense. I'm not. That's a good thing. That's a positive thing. I'm going to trust her to do her job. If Ella decides to play softball and you're going to keep coaching softball for another 20 years, and guess what? I ain't going to say nothing. I'm like, you need some help? Can I do something for you? Otherwise, that's the expert. She set and wrote the procedures. We're going to follow them, okay? You send your kid to me to wrestle. Thank you very much, because I can't do what I do without your child and everything that you bring to the table. But when it comes to everything we do inside that room, you need to sit right there. You know, I had a moment. I told y'all this from the pulpit before. I had a daddy one time, and I love him. This kid, the great family. I love these guys to death. But I had a kid wrestling. He lost a real close match. And, you know, we were all bummed out about it because we knew it was going to be a big and an important match against a good kid from a good school. And we came up short at the area tournament. We ended up beating the kid at the state tournament, which is when it matters. But I digress. I'm walking by him, and I'm down and upset. And he looks at me and says, Coach, man, did you tell him he didn't do this and he didn't do that and he didn't do this? And I was not in the mood to hear that. And I turned around and said, no, I didn't, because you did. So I did your job and told him I loved him. Yeah, no, it stung. It did. Same thing. It was. I can't say nothing back to that. Thank you. And just move on. Okay. And so, you know, that became the thing is you do your job, love on them. I do my job, coach them. It's going to work a whole lot better than the roles being reversed, because that's improper alignment there. But anyways, a lot of times we think we know better than the expert. A lot of times we think we know better. So let's read a little bit of Bible so that we can say we've been to church. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 13. Now, here's the thing about the book of James. The book of James is not trying to exponentially teach you why you should be a believer. It's not convincing you of your lifestyle being wrong. The book of James is written for people that have already become believers, right? And now it's trying to simplify some things for you. If you're struggling on knowing where to be and like, what time do I need to be at practice and who should I see if I get hurt, read the book of James, because it's really simple. It breaks things down for us. And a lot of times we get caught up and we ask ourselves this question that are questions that have like no infinite answer. Like, it's, well, am I here? What am I doing with my life? Wonder what I should do about this. And those are these big philosophical questions that we literally could sit in a circle and talk about for hours, because that's what we like to do. We'll set out, we'll have a bonfire, we'll have these. And there's never an end to that conversation. And sometimes I just need some simple directions. Be at school, practice starts at 3:30. Okay? We don't have bathroom breaks. Be outside, you get hurt, do this. And that's what I feel like the book of James is. And in our small circle, I know that we have struggled with, you know, Sid said it from the pulpit, and I'll say it, you know. He said, I know less about healing right now than I feel like I ever have, or I feel less confident about it than I ever have. And, you know, my feedback to him in the side room is, dude, that's cool. It's not your job to know much about it. It's your job to follow the procedure. And that's what I want to get to this morning on a couple of things. We'll make sure I read all my notes and this, that, and the other. But let's start in James 5:13, and we'll read it to the end of the chapter here. I am in the NIV. Hopefully that doesn't offend you. If it is, sorry, I'm not sorry. All right. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the Father offered, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And then he gives a little history lesson here. He says, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, but he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. 13 through, was it 19? That's what, yeah, 20. That's procedure. Like, it's keep it simple, okay? If you have a need, pray for it. If you have a big need, gather the elders of the church and have them pray for it. Okay, now this is twofold here. Number one, stop going to see people that aren't grounded in this for your specialist problems. Okay, because as a believer, here's what you can't do. You can't believe that part of this is true. You can't do that, guys. I'm sorry, but like that's the hard truth. You can't believe part of this thing and expect, because this is a book. Okay, the book in itself is not alive. Okay, you as a believer is what turns this into a living word. That's the difference, okay? Because anybody, an atheist, can grab this book, not be changed, and read the book and put it down and be done. And it's got some good proverbs in there, and you can live your life by those. But it doesn't change anything unless your heart believes it as the truth. Like, that's why this book is powerful, not because it's just a book, until it becomes truth. When it's your truth that everything else is based upon for your foundation in your life, that's when things start to change, right? That's when you see a victory when there's no victory there. That's when you have peace when there's no peace there. Because you know, not believe, you know now as a believer that the words in this thing are true. And you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't believe what it says. You're asking to pay some more medical bills. And I'm not on, listen, hear my heart on here. I'm not on you. If you're going to see a therapist, mental therapist, that's okay. Like, do that. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing for you. But if it's not grounded in this, man, you clouding up, you muddying the waters. Madeline, you putting salt in the water, right? You putting too much stuff in there. So sometimes you muddy the water by going to see somebody that ain't grounded in this. And I don't care if it's mental health, physical health, whatever. If your problems and procedures are not grounded and founded in the Word of God, you're asking yourself to mess up and misstep. Like, that's what you're doing. You're promoting a life and when you're going to step in the wrong direction. What we've done, I feel like, as a group of believers, is we have supplemented our life with this. We've turned this into a supplement, okay? You know, and you guys, we can talk about dietary supplements and this, that, and the other, but a supplement is just extra. It's an enhancement. Like, I got a protein supplement because I want more protein in my diet. Well, if that's the only source of your protein, like, you're in trouble, right? You need to eat some steak, eat some beans. Like, if that's the only source of your protein is that scoop of powder, you're in trouble. That's a supplement. That is extra or enhancement, okay? And what we've done is we've turned this into the supplement. We've turned this into the supplement. We go and we, you know, this is what we should do and this is how we should live and these are the things that we need to have and how we provide for other people based upon what everybody out there has said and what we've accepted as culture. If your culture is the same as somebody who doesn't know Jesus, you're living the wrong culture. You've accepted that culture instead of promoting our culture as believers. And we cannot use this as supplements because you will die. If you live your life just taking vitamins and you don't eat anything and you don't drink anything and you don't exercise, you are not going to be healthy. I'm not going to tell you you're going to die because you'll probably sustain life, but is that where you want to live? You want to live off vitamins, Flintstones for the rest of your life? I mean, you can. It's an impossibility. You're asking for problems. And here's the other thing. You know, I even have this talk with my wrestlers. The bars that you consume and eat and the protein that you put in that powder, that's not natural for your body to consume it that way. Okay, so guess what? It takes longer to process. Okay, if I eat a steak or some beans, it takes that a shorter amount of time to process than a hardened chunk of protein bar. I'm pretty sure it's science. All right, an orange goes through your system pretty doggone quick as opposed to one of the big chocolate protein bars. So if you're wondering why things are taking longer, it's because you've got your supplement and your dietary intake flipped. Okay? So if you got stuff you're looking for answers in your life for, right, and it's taking a long time for it to process, it's because you ain't following the right procedure. You're using this as a supplement as opposed to the main course. This is the meal. You can give me something else, and you can tell me I love you based on, you know, your feelings for me, and that's supplemental, but this type of love is different, right? The way he loves me is different than the way she could ever love me, right? And I hate to be this way, but even if that's the main course for me, I'm wrong. She is to help enhance and supplement and bring extra life to me. She's not the main course. It's got to be him. You want to know why you're having problems in your marriage? Because you're having problems in your relationship with the Lord because you don't talk to him no more. You ain't spending time with him. You're not in proper alignment. And we've talked about that in here before as well. But you've got to have this as your main supplement. So your procedure is wrong because you're eating the wrong stuff and yada, 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 yada. We can talk about that for a long time. I want to talk about, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. It's what it says. You don't say send a text message to a group and that'll work. Now I realize that cell phones were not available during this time, and that's not a bad thing to have people praying for you. But if you're sick, this is your home, okay? We have elders in this church. We have oil sitting right here because it's part of the procedure. If you're sick and hadn't found healing, have you come up here and ask for that? And listen, we've done that. We've laid hands on people in this church, and we've slung oil all over them, the elders, and we didn't see nothing. I don't see an addendum here that says, well, if wash, rinse, and repeat, okay? It just says do that. And do that, and do that, and do that. And if it doesn't happen, do that. That's the procedure. It's not for you to know the procedure. It's not for you to help create the thing. It's for you to follow it. It's for me to follow it, right? And if I'm not following proper procedure, I shouldn't expect something that I'm looking for here. I want to get to this piece real quick. Verse 19, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So if we start in 13, we're talking about sick people. We're talking about people that have a heavy heart. We're talking about people that need praise and prayer because that's where they are. If you don't need none of that, if that don't meet you where you are, if you're not happy, sing praises. That's what it says. If you're happy, sing praise. It says if you're not happy, get some prayer. If you're sick, get some prayer. It goes through all these things. But if none of that meets you as a believer, this needs to meet you. Brothers and sisters, if somebody has wandered from the truth, bring them back. You go Matthew 28. That's the Great Commission, right? Go make disciples. If you don't know where to be in life, there you go. Just stop making stuff hard. Stop dining on supplements. Keep it simple, baby. The gospel's simple. We sing a song in here. I know James loves it when we sing it. The simple gospel. It ain't hard, guys. Your job as a believer, not real hard. You might not feel great all the time because it doesn't say, hey, you're going to feel great all the time, so sing praises all the time. It doesn't say that. But it's the right thing. That's all we have to do. That's all we have to do. And if we're down, let's get some prayer. Let's have people lay hands on me, sling some more, and keep praying for me until. There's no ending date. Do it 8 times. Just keep doing it. And if you don't see what you want, don't say stop. It says keep doing it. It's not for you to know why, because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. It's our job to trust in him. And your relationship with God is not just dutiful. I'm not trying to say that. So hear my heart on that too. I'm not just trying to say that, you know, just do your duty and everything will be fine. But there are times in life where that duty will get you back into right relationship. We've had arguments before, right? And I'm assuming we're probably the only couple in here that ever has. Sorry, babe. It's my fault. But I don't quit doing what I'm supposed to do. She doesn't quit doing what she's supposed to do, because eventually that brings us back in to where we need to be. Does that make sense at all? I'm just not going to quit being a husband because we're having an argument, right? Or we don't like each other for 30 minutes because I said something she didn't like, because it's always my fault, just in case anybody's asking. I'm kidding. But I still keep fulfilling my roles and responsibilities as a husband. So there is a duty piece to our relationship with God, because that's how history is made with him. We've got a history now that I'm going to say something stupid today, probably at home, because I'm really good at it. Okay. She ain't leaving. We've got a history with one another that's going to bring us back to where we need to be, because we've developed that history with one another. And that's what we're supposed to do with this procedure. Because I do wake up every day and I love her and I go to work and we honor one another, that procedure, that way that we live life, you know, it keeps us where we're supposed to be. And I'm going to get ready and close with this. I was going to do an altar call, but I don't feel like that's what we got going on today. I know we got lunch with the youth and all that stuff. So I'm just going to kind of talk plainly to you, and you take it. I tell my class, I was like, hey, man, it's free. Take it, roll it up, put it in your pocket, keep it with you, or you don't. You can throw it away on the way out. But this is just my heart. I feel like we've got to go back to understanding what an altar moment is. Okay, and what an altar is, it's not a set of steps with carpet on it that we clean frequently because, you know, people cry on it and, you know, there's salt in your tears. By the way, salt's good for you in moderation. Just throwing that out there for anybody that may or may not be listening. But it's not just a set of steps that we see. Okay, it's not just a set of steps that we see. This is, you built an altar to the Lord when big things happened to you back in the day. So like when the River Jordan was crossed for the first time, they stopped and they built an altar. And you see these tables at some of these older churches. It says, you know, do this in remembrance of me, or it says in remembrance of me. And all that is setting up a thing that we can see. Is, oh, yeah, we built that thing the time that God did this, right? So like, you know, Haven's a walking altar. Because, like, every time you look at that chick, you're like, hey, I remember when God did this, right? Which is awesome, by the way. And there's several walking altars, right? You're a walking altar, right? Because I remember when God did this to you. And I remember when you stepped forward and you stepped. First of all, you are a walking altar. Like, every time I look at James, I can be like, hey, man, God did that. And remember it. Not that James was ever a bad guy. He was always a pretty good dude. But there was a time that God brought that dude out of where he was and into where he is, okay? And he's a walking altar because of that. But I think we've lost maybe the understanding of how significant those moments are, okay? And so I'm not telling you to go home, stack a bunch of rocks in the yard, and build an altar for everything that God's done for you, but I do think it's important for you to know everything that God's done for you, right? Because there's going to come times where I'm going to be down, and I'm like, man, why you got me right here? Happened this week. You know, Coach Bray hooked me up, gave me a little love this week. Why is this going on right now? What have I done to deserve this? I don't deserve anything. You know, sometimes I need to be jerked and not into him. Like, dude, let me tell you who you really are. And so you don't deserve any of these things, but you get them through the grace of God. Our history is what keeps us rolling. Okay, my history, and Sid's talked about this tapestry. I don't like saying that word. It's just weird to me. Yeah, I'm a word guy. I have problems with some words, Martin. That's one of them. I don't like it. I can say it. I can spell it. Don't like it. But our history with God, our scroll, I'm going to use scroll instead of tapestry, all right? Our scroll with God that we can look back on and say, man, I remember when that happened, right? And that's what keeps us using this procedure, is our history with God. My history with God that I share with other people is what pulls the wanderer out, right? If someone should wander from the truth, that's what pulls the wanderer out, because the truth is not this book. The truth is this word. The truth is not the book. The truth is the word. And a word is spoken and a word keeps going, right? That's the whole let there be light thing. We've talked about that in this church several times. God said, let there be light. And it probably just shot out of his mouth at 186,000 miles per second. And it's still going because he never said for it to stop. Okay? And so words go forward and they stay there, whether you see them continuing to work or not. We know the sun's going to come up every day because he's never told it not to. Okay, so these words that we get in our own life, just because it didn't happen 20 years ago when it was spoken, doesn't mean that it's not still going. Or just because you ain't thought about it in a year or two, doesn't mean that it's not still going. I don't know how long, you know, you guys were told about Honduras before you guys stepped out. I have no clue. We hadn't had that conversation. But I assume it didn't happen like that. You know, that word went, and then some things had to happen, right? You had to walk on that word. You had to stand in that. And so I guess my I don't know if it's a challenge or what I want to release to you guys today is a couple of things. Number one, man, check the rule book. Check the rule book, okay? You know, penalties happen when you jump off sides and you don't follow the procedure. Those are called procedure penalties. So, but things happen. Negative things happen. You know, when you jump off sides, you move backwards. Okay, you move backwards. And when we don't check that thing first, expect to move backwards, okay? Or expect everything else to move forward and you stay in the same spot, you're moving backwards. So check the procedure book. You need to know something, check here first, not the Google, okay? Not your friend, okay? Not and no young people in here, so I'll save this for them today, Tyler. We'll talk about that. No Snapchat, no Insta stories, no TikToks. I've seen some of those this week. The TikToks, I've never done the TikTok. I've seen some though. Anyways, we don't check that first. We check the rule book first. So check your rule book. Don't supplement your diet with this. Make this the main course. And continue to understand and speak and talk about your history with the Lord, because that is the truth that brings the wanderer back. I talk about that with our FCA leadership group every Monday. Man, there's two ways that we win in the Word. And this is simple stuff, man. It's a simple gospel. There's two ways that I get to be a winner. One, I can't control it at all. It's the blood of the Lamb. I ain't got nothing to do with that, man. I ain't got nothing. So I'm already winning because of that. But the way that I win is the Word that keeps going of my testimony. That's how I can win. That's how I contribute, is the Word of my testimony. And if we're always here with a closed mouth or a closed life, okay, because you don't have to speak to share your testimony. But if we're always here with a closed mouth or a closed life, you ain't winning. You want to know why you're not winning? You're not sharing your testimony, either with words or with the way that you live your life. I'm not telling you got to preach to share your testimony to be a winner, but I am telling you, you got to have some conversations. I am telling you that you got to be a light to somebody else, because you ain't giving it away at that point. So there's two ways that we win, is blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So stay on sides, follow procedures, don't supplement your diet with this, make it the main course, and let your history bring others back into the fold. Okay, that book of James is for believers. That's us. We're believers. Okay, everybody in here, believer. Okay, book of James is for us to bring the wanderers, the guys that maybe have been here and that are not here, or people that have never made it in the fold in the first place, is for us to help bring them into the fold. So hopefully that gave you something today. If it didn't, I do apologize. Is what it is, okay? So I'm going to pray. I don't know the procedure for what's coming next. So if Ariel or Tyler or somebody wants to come in here when we get done praying and kind of give everybody the procedure, that would be good. Otherwise, we're probably going to make some mistakes. So let's pray real quick. Lord, I just love you. I thank you for this day, God. I'm thankful for what you showed me this morning, because I needed to hear it, Father, and I need to apply it to my life, and I'm thankful for that, God. I'm thankful for how faithful you were, Father God, just to download those things into me this morning. God, I just pray that as we leave this place, that our history and our knowledge of you, God, our testimony of you and our love and following your procedures, God, will allow others to come back into the fold, Lord, that we will unconsciously give others permission to walk in your hope and in your spirit, Father, that not because we're anything, but we are just following you. You are the procedure, God. And I thank you for everything that you've downloaded into us, God, that we take for granted and walk in daily. Lord, I just pray, Father, for every person in here, that we find something in your word, God, that every single day that we know that we can do better and walk out in life, God. Lord, I pray right now for the meal we're about to receive, and I pray for the youth, God. I am so thankful right now to see this youth movement growing in our church, God. I'm thankful for the hands of labor that are a part of that, God. I pray that you would continue to anoint them, God. I pray that they would be able to continue to walk in who you are. God, I pray, Father, that these young people, whether they attend our church or they come from anywhere, God, I pray that when they walk in this room, that your presence is so heavy they can't help but feel it, God. I pray that lives are changed. Now, God, young people that are believers, I pray that they're radically changed. Young people that aren't believers, I pray that they're radically changed. God, I pray that you would take the money that gets donated today and you would multiply it, Father God. And it's not because it's money, God, but it's sowing seeds into people, God. And you're never going to return have us a bad return on investment, God. Lord, we can sow into Wall Street and mess that up. But if you sow into a person, it's never a bad return on investment, God, even if they fail, because they have seen love through that. So I just pray that you would multiply these monies today, God. Bless these young people. Bless us, Father. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.